We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio broadcast. This is Pastor Bob Arthurs from Merit Assembly of God, and this is the day that we celebrate and remember the price that our Savior paid for each of us, so that we did not have to spend an eternity separated from Him, but instead could have everlasting life. And most of the time I start off with some announcements. I share a word with you, and I'm going to do that a little bit today. Just two brief announcements here this morning. One is tonight is our Night of Honor prayer meeting from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. If you would like to join us, the address of the church is 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island, and we would welcome you to come out. Also, Resurrection Sunday is just 2 days away, and we want to encourage you to make plans to either worship at your church. If you do not have a church home, we would love to have you join us. Again, the address is 165 North Grove Street. Last announcement is the Easter Surf Fest. I believe there's a movie that's being shown tonight, and then an egg hunt this weekend. You can check out the festivities for that. But if you're down there, there's lots of people that are going to be there that need Jesus. And so I encourage you to share the love of Jesus where you are. Remember where God has brought you from. And remember to pray for those that He is still yet to reach. So today I'm going to do the broadcast a little bit differently. I'm going to take you to Luke, the 22nd chapter. And if it's okay with you today, I'm just going to read the passage of Scripture out of the New King James Version that describes for us in quite a bit of detail all that Jesus went through for you and I. And then when I get done, if there's time, then I'll touch on a few things. Luke, the 22nd chapter, verse number 39. Coming out, He went to the Mount of Olives, as He was accustomed, and His disciples also followed Him. When He came to the place, He said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And He was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and He knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if it is Your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Yours be done." Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, "Why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation." And while he was still speaking, behold, a multitude, and he who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But he said to him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When those around him saw what was going to happen, they said to him, "Lord, shall we strike with the sword?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus answered and said, "Permit even this." And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, captains of the temple, and the elders who had come to him, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you daily in the temple, you did not try to seize me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness." Having arrested him, They led him and brought him into the high priest's house. But Peter followed at a distance. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them, and a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, "This man was also with him." But he not denied him, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And after a while, another saw him and said, "You also are of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are saying." Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So Peter went out and wept bitterly. Now the men who held Jesus mocked him and beat him. And having blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, "Prophesy, who is the one who struck you?" And many other things they blasphemously spoke against him. As soon as it was day, the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, came together and led him into their council, saying, "If you are the Christ, tell us." But he said to them, "If I tell you, you will by no means believe. And if I also ask you, you will by no means answer me or let me go. Hereafter the Son of Man will sit on the right hand of the power of God." Then they all said, "Are you then the Son of God?" So he said to them, "You rightly say that I am." And they said, "What further testimony do we need? For we have heard it ourselves from his own mouth." Then the whole multitude of them arose and led him to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king." Then Pilate asked him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered him and said, "It is as you say." So Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowd, "I find no fault in this man." But they were the more fierce, saying, "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee to this place." When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked if the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he heard that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. Now when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he had desired for a long time to see him, because he had heard many things about him, and he hoped to see some miracle done by him. Then he questioned him with many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and the scribes stood, and they vehemently accused him. Then Herod, with his men of war, treated him with contempt and mocked him, arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him back to Pilate. That very day, Pilate and Herod became friends with each other, for previously they had been at enmity with each other. Then Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, said to them, "You have brought this man to me as one who misleads the people, and indeed, having examined him in your presence, I have found no fault in this man concerning those things of which you accuse him. No, neither did Herod, for I sent you back to him. And indeed, nothing deserving of death has been done by him. I will therefore chastise him and release him, for it was necessary for him to release one to them at the feast." And they cried out at once, saying, "Away with this man, and release to us Barabbas, who had been thrown into prison for a certain rebellion made in the city, and for murder." Pilate, therefore, wishing to release Jesus, again called out to them. But they shouted, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Then he said to them the third time, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found no reason for death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go." But they were insistent, demanding with loud voices that he be crucified. And the voices of these men and of the chief priests prevailed. So Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they requested, and he released to them the one they requested. who for rebellion and murder had been thrown into prison, but he delivered Jesus to their will. Now as they led him away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming from the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. And a great multitude of the people followed him, and women who also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, wombs that never bore, and breasts which never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things in the greenwood, what will be done in the dry?" There were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to a place called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And they divided his garments and cast lots, and the people stood looking on. But even the rulers with them sneered, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen of God." The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine, and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." And an inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, "This is the King of the Jews." Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, "Certainly, this was a righteous man." And the whole crowd who came together to that sight, seeing what he had done, beat their breasts and returned. But all his acquaintances and the women who followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. Now behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and just man. He had not consented to their decision. Indeed, he was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself also was also waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in a linen, and laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of the rock, where no one had ever lain before. That day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew near. And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. And that is what makes Good Friday Good Friday. It is what gives you and I hope and a future. It is what purchased our forgiveness and washed away our sins. I am thankful today for my Savior and for all that He's done for me. Today I would like to just tell you a few things that maybe you are going through, just a couple of things that you are going through. Four things that happened on this particular in this particular week leading up to the sacrifice of Jesus. The first that I want to talk about today is betrayal. Judas Iscariot was the one who betrayed him. The scriptures talk about how he was the treasurer and that he helped himself to the things in the treasury. I don't know if you have ever been betrayed by anyone, but it is very painful. It's hard to deal with. And Judas betrayed Jesus with a kiss. And you may have experienced betrayal. It may have been a spouse, a boyfriend, a girlfriend. It might have been a co-worker who stabbed you in the back so that they could get a promotion. But I want to remind you today that if you have been betrayed, you have a Savior who knows exactly what that feels like. And we may not have done what Judas did, but I'm pretty sure that most of us have done what Peter did, where in the heat of the moment when things were getting very close to home and all of a sudden there was a price to be paid, a number of us have done what he's done, and that is that we denied him. If we haven't done that, I'm sure most of us have had times when we should have stood for Jesus, but like the disciples at his crucifixion, instead we ran away looking for a safe place. Today I want to tell you that God knows what it feels like, and I want to encourage you to allow him to bear that burden just as he bears your sin. Allow Jesus to carry that betrayal. Enter as part of entering into a covenant relationship. That means that everything that is mine, everything that touches me, everything that affects me also belongs to Jesus. It touches him and it affects him. The scripture says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay." I want to encourage you that in the midst of that betrayal, to guard your heart and allow God to deal with it. You see, really, there was not an inseparable amount of difference between what Peter did and what Judas did. There was forgiveness that was available for Peter. But if Jesus looked upon him, and one of the great things, and we'll talk about this on Monday's broadcast when we deal with the resurrection, is that Jesus makes special mention of Peter after the resurrection. "Go and tell my disciples and Peter that I am risen from the dead." And I just want to encourage you that there is life after betrayal. You do not have to carry that. Allow God to deal with that. You see, when it came to Judas, Judas was gripped with remorse after that betrayal happened. And I can't guarantee you that every person that has ever betrayed you is going to feel bad about it. That's just not the world that we live in. But I can tell you this, at some point in time, there will be an accounting that is given so that they have to give an accounting for the treachery, for the betrayal that they've done. And so if you've been betrayed, I just pray for you right now. Father, I pray that you would heal the hurts and the hearts of any who is listening to this broadcast today. Father, as they have felt the sting of betrayal, Lord, they, like you, know what it feels like to have someone close to them to grieve them and break their heart and lash out. Lord, you know the pain and the suffering that that brings. And I pray today, O God, that you would lavish your love and your attention upon them. Lord, today I pray that you would give them hope. In Jesus' name, amen. You see, not only was there a betrayal of Judas, but then there was also an examination. You see, the lamb that was sacrificed under the old covenant and Jesus here in the new covenant, they both were spotless. They had to be spotless lambs. You see, I am not without flaw in my physical being. If you were to examine my physical being, you would find that it's got imperfections in it. I would not qualify to pay the price, even under the old covenant of sin. If you were to examine me mentally, you would find that there have been times when my mental perspective on situations, on what I thought was going to be, on times that I thought God wanted me to do one thing when actually it was my spirit that was leading me astray, you would find that there were some times where I would not measure up under that examination. There would be times in my life where you would see that I had failed spiritually. But you see, when they examined Jesus, there was the religious leaders that examined him. There was Pilate that examined him. There was Herod that examined him. Even when he was tempted in the wilderness before he even began his ministry, when the devil came to tempt him, he resisted temptation, and the devil had to look for him for a more opportune time. You see, every time that he was tempted, he came out. Unlike you and I, he came out without giving in to the temptation. And so today, I want you to see that he passed the examination. He was declared by Pilate to be without flaw. He was declared to be the Lamb of God. Even the centurion there said, surely this man was a righteous man. Surely this man was the Son of God. And so I want to encourage you today that cross that hung in the on Calvary's hill that day on Golgotha, that was just not any cross. That was not just any man that died. That was the perfect Lamb of God, which, as John the Baptist said at the beginning of his ministry, comes to take away the sin of the world. With that being said, I want to encourage you that there is coming a day when believers will stand before the Bema Seat of Christ, and we will give an account of the things that we've done, not as a matter of whether or not we get into heaven, but as a matter of reward. What have you done with what I have committed into your hands? And it's going to be tried by fire, and there's going to be some wood and hay and stubble that is burned up and consumed. There is other that is going to come forth as gold and silver and precious stones to the glory of God. Thank God for that examination. But there's another examination. If we have not asked Jesus to be the Lord of our life and forgive us of our sins, where we will be examined on this one thing. What did you do with Jesus? What did you do with the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. What are you going to do with the Son of God who shed his blood to forgive you of your sins? And the reality is, if you were to stand at that judgment seat, the answer is already known, because your name has not been found in the Lamb's Book of Life. And for those not found in the Lamb's Book of Life, they are cast out into the lake of fire, into a time of indescribable separation from God. You don't want to fail that examination. There was the crucifixion. The scripture said, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. But Jesus bore the curse for you and I. He shed his blood. You see, he came and fulfilled everything that the law required. And I am so thankful for the crucifixion today. I pray that you will spend some time in prayer, that you will spend some time in the Word and appreciate the sacrifice that Jesus made for you. If you can, join us tonight from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. tomorrow morning, or a season of that time where we will honor the Lamb that was slain to take away our sin. If you can't join us, then join us Sunday as we celebrate the resurrected Son of God. The last thing I want to point out to you is that there was a tremendous amount of confusion in the disciples. They were disillusioned. They weren't prepared. Even though Jesus had told them, they still weren't prepared for what was coming their way. They weren't prepared when they saw this king that they were following, this rabbi. They weren't prepared when they saw him arrested, when they saw him beaten, where they saw him tried, where they saw him crucified. and yet without sin. They weren't prepared for what they saw. And they went that day. They found a place that they thought was secure. And they huddled there just in case they came for them. Today, I'm sure that as you're listening to this radio broadcast, there are a number of things that have gone on in your life that are inexplicable. How could this happen? Why did this happen? And today, I just want to share with you that God is not the author of confusion. I want to encourage you that though you are going through the night, joy comes in the morning. You see, one of the greatest things that I've ever heard about Good Friday was, it may be Friday, but Sunday is coming. Sunday is on the way. And so if you are bewildered right now, if you are going through a season of confusion, I just want you to hang in there, fix your eyes on Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Keep your eyes on Jesus, because as you do, things will begin to come into focus. I may not be able to have all the answers, but I tell you this, you can trust Jesus. You can trust him. Your Savior is trustworthy. And it is not that we believe in him because we understand. We believe in him even when we do not understand, because God is good and his mercy endures forever. Today is Good Friday. I encourage you today to lift up your eyes, to look unto the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because your help is on the way. You can come boldly before the throne of grace today to find help in your time of need because of what Jesus did on Calvary. Today is Good Friday. It may be your darkest hour, but I encourage you to keep your eyes on Jesus, because there's a new day that's coming, and it is a day filled with joy and filled with a whole new vision, a whole new power. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Father, we want to thank you today, for you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus, we thank you that you came to seek and to save that which was lost. Thank you that you shed your blood for the forgiveness of my sins. God, today we thank you. This day is Good Friday because of what you've done. May every person listening today be filled with hope because of your great love. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. And everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve you. Still, I want to love and serve you.